Hello, I'm Ken DeLuke, and welcome to the Turning Point Podcast, the bi-weekly program that features interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. To ask a question, please leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. That's 312-866-7174, or leave an email at theturningpointpodcast.com. That's theturningpointpodcast.com. Now, your host is Mohammed Fahim, a candidate for the United States U.S. House of Representatives. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you for the introduction, Ken. And if you could please introduce our guest for tonight.
Now, I've been waiting to do this podcast for months, and I am so happy. This is like very personal to me. I'm into clean energy in a major way. In fact, I work for a solar company, and there's some interesting legislative developments that are going on right now. The state of Illinois, they did what's called the Illinois Shines Act, and they're basically mandating that ComEd, who in Northern Illinois is the local provider of electricity, by 2025, which is in essence 2 years from now, they have to have 20% of all the energy they provide come from either wind. And of course, I'm sure a lot of you have seen these big windmills out in the farm fields down the expressway, or solar, geothermal, hydroelectric. It has to be green energy. By 2050, and there's a scale up from 2025 to 2050, that actual mandate comes up to 100%. Our guest today is, her name is Terry Marker. She's a scientist who has won the prestigious Don Class Award. Okay. She is the top scientist in the world on her background of basically converting CO2 from the atmosphere and combining it with carbon dioxide, taking carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, combining it with hydrogen, which they get through electrolysis, and coming up with a process that can, basically create jet fuel, diesel, gasoline, propane, whatever it is that you would need. So in essence, while they're doing this process, it's a negative carbon footprint because they're taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere. And then when it's reused for whatever fuel, it turns out to be a carbon neutral process because they're just putting back what they already took out. And I am not the scientist, and I'm not going to go any further here, but I am just super psyched to have our guest, Terry Marker. So, Mohammed, take it away.
Good morning. Good morning, Terry, and good morning, Ken. And yeah, you sound too excited today, and for a good reason. Like you said, you've been trying to get Terry to join our podcast for quite some time. Terry, welcome, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us on the Turning Point podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. And I'm not, I probably wouldn't, I'd like to be a little more, I'm not sure that I'm the top research scientist in the world. I'm just one of many that are working in this very exciting area. But a lot of people, actually a lot of companies now, are turning to this e-fuel approach to making fuels from CO2 and hydrogen. And that's, I think that's a new thing that a lot of people don't really know about.
Well, as far as Ken and I know, you are the top because you're the only person that we have met who is in this field and who is at this level. So, yeah, take a bow, okay?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Hey, speaking of e-fuels and all of that, is there anything that you as a scientist can do to take some of the hot air that is spouted by our politicians and turn that into energy?
Sure, because they're exhaling CO2, so their CO2 is good too.
Yeah, they're exhaling CO2. I never thought about that. Okay,
so. Sure. They probably have a very large CO2 output.
Yeah, we need to start monitoring the carbon footprints of all these politicians. Okay. Jokes aside, Terry, again, thank you so much for joining us. Tell me a little bit about Terry Marker before she became a scientist. How was your your school days. Where did you grow up in?
Well, I'm actually from Chicago. I was born in Chicago, and then we moved to Palos Heights when I was well, fairly young. And I actually went to school at University of Illinois for my bachelor's degree, and I got my master's at Illinois Institute of Technology. So I'm kind of from this area, went to school in this area, and I'm definitely a Chicago person. Now I live in Parkridge, and I work at a company called Gas Technology Institute, GTI Energy, at in Des Plaines, Illinois. So we're, I'm in the Chicago area primarily my whole life.
So, going back to your school days and comparing them with the school days today, do you see any changes?
Oh yeah, I mean it's just tremendously different now than it was when I went. I'm pretty old, so things have really changed a lot. But I mean the people that are the students that we're getting, like when we hire new employees at GTI Energy, they're very smart. I mean they're very intelligent. They've had really excellent training, so we can't really complain too much about it. If you get good people in, you're going to get good results.
So how difficult is it to keep up with this young pups coming out from the computer age into your realm, and how difficult is it for people like, the seniors to keep up with the technology aspect of things?
Well, what we lack in our computer skills, and I admit I'm not the best computer person in the world, as you know, but I think we make up for it in our practical knowledge. So, one of the great things that I learned over time is a lot of catalyst information, a lot of catalyst knowledge. And catalysis is it's almost like magic. It's like being a wizard in a way, because as much as scientific as we try to make it, there's a lot of know-how, there's a lot of black art to it, and that kind of thing. You just kind of have to know certain things about which metals and which materials will react in which ways. And if you have that kind of background information, it's kind of one of those things that you can use for a lot of different applications. So
You
that
know,
served me well. I learned all this stuff over a period of time. And actually, I've been in the petroleum and chemical industry for 50 years, and worked in part of that. I worked in biorenewables research, and I worked in that at UOP and also at GTI Energy here.
you might enjoy hearing this story. My bachelor's, I've got like two bachelor's and a master's, okay? My first bachelor's is in science with biology, chemistry, and geology, three majors.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I loved geology growing up. Chemistry, I kind of fell into it. The first few months were very tough. Then I got a good teacher and I fell in love with chemistry. And in our college days, we had three different distinct branches of chemistry that we were expected to, to master and learn: organic chemistry, inorganic chemistry, and physical chemistry. You
Yes.
are the expert in this, right?
Well, no, I mean that's what they used to have. Now they have a lot of this in environmental engineering kind of chemistry, where and they have a lot of biochemistry. So there's been like a lot of the one of the major differences I see is that, chemistry isn't pure in a way. It's become melded with these other areas of either biology or sometimes physical chemistry, sometimes inorganic chemistry as far as catalysis goes. And also this environmental area as well.
Yeah,
So
but the funny thing that that happened was that I'm fairly short. I'm not a tall person, but there was a friend of mine who was like 6 feet 4 inches tall, and he used to sit behind me in class, and he would look over my shoulder and copy everything that I was writing. And
Well, you
so
probably helped him graduate then. You were doing him a favor by being short.
but you know that temperature plays a huge part in any chemical reaction. And when we are writing down those equations and reactions, he was copying everything that I was writing down, and I didn't put the temperatures till I handed the paper in. And I passed the class, and he failed, and he could not figure out how that happened for so till after we completed our graduation, one day I sat him down and I told him that, hey, listen, idiot, this is something.
You are kind of mean, you
All right. Hey,
Okay.
Terry, I want to ask you a quick question here because when I first heard from Tim, our mutual acquaintance, and he told me about you, this literally made my head explode in terms of this technology. And I just want to really put this out there, and maybe you can go more in depth on how this works. This air to fuel, where you're actually taking carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and combining it with hydrogen through the electrolysis, as you had mentioned. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's an actual working prototype of this technology in existence right now that's actually producing. This isn't something that's theoretical. You have something in place that this is actually working.
Oh yeah, I mean, there are actually several places around the world where people are doing this. So it's actually being practiced, but it's not at full commercial scale yet. It's at smaller scale. So people are doing this, and it can be done. And a lot of research is going in right now into, both the GTL part of it, in other words, the gas to liquids part, turning the CO2 and hydrogen into fuels, and then also the part of taking the CO2 out of the air. So there's research to make this cheaper because, people started out, they are doing it, there are prototypes, but they are relatively small. And the reason is that it caught it the original prototypes that have been done cost a fair amount as far as taking the CO2 out. So the CO2 is It, we the way we would express that is the CO2 has a very high price. So it's like $400 a ton, $600 a ton, and then that makes the price of the fuel high. So the goal is to get the price of taking the CO2 out of the air down to $100 a ton. And when that price is reached, then it becomes extremely economic. And so everybody's in a race. There's a race all around the world, actually. There's a number of companies doing this, trying to get this technology to go commercial. And large benefactors have funded some of this work, including Bill Gates and others, to try to bring this technology to fruition. And I mean, every day we're working on it, but everyone else is also working on it. Every day, you hear about new improvements to the technology, new absorbents that are being used, new techniques that are being used. So this is only a matter, I think it's only a matter of time, maybe 2 or 3 years before this becomes so economic that it goes totally commercial and they start building really large plants.
Oh, that's
But we'll see. I
wonderful.
mean, I'm always an optimist,
That's
I'm always.
excellent. Oh, that's excellent. And the other thing too, I heard is that in the interim, stepping up to that process, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's actually biomass, where paper mills and stuff that are no longer producing paper because everyone's gone digital, those areas now that they can actually take the trees and, they do a production line where they start with a certain area and then 20, they replant 20 years later. Those trees are grown up and mature again to where they can reuse it. So it's a carbon neutral process to begin with, but you can use what you're talking about in the same function instead of air extraction, just use biomass or whatever to do the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Now that's perfectly commercial now, and people are starting to build these plants. And what they do, there's a number of technologies that convert the biomass, all sorts of biomass. I mean, it can be wood, waste wood, and ideally you would want like a wood that's from some kind of waste situation where it's not harvesting, not cutting down trees, but instead there's been like a fire, for instance, or there's been some kind of destruction, which gives you a lot of wood, like a hurricane often produces a lot of wood waste. So you take that wood and you can do a number of things. So you can gasify it and then take the gases and turn that into our conversion technique, we call it cool GTL, to convert that into, jet fuel, gasoline, diesel, whatever you'd like. So that technology is already out there, and people are starting to build these things. Now, I know of several large units that are probably going to be built in the next few years that will use either gasification, or there's another process called I2 that also converts biomass of all kinds into, directly. It converts it more directly into gasoline and diesel and jet. So, this is definitely happening, and people in North, I think in the next 5 years, you will see these plants come online also. And they'll be fairly large. And they, that's why I like to, Tim's company of Sinsel was intent on developing sites all around the U.S. To do just that.
Wonderful. Folks, you are tuned into the Turning Point podcast. I'm Mohammed Fahim. Producer Ken is also online today. And we are both very excited to be talking to Terry Marker, one of the leading scientists in the country, if not the world, on converting all kinds of stuff into fuel and without impacting the environment, in fact, helping the environment. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back after this.
Okay, folks, this is the turningpointpodcast.com. If you want to leave a message on our website, please feel free to do so. Our phone number is 312-866-7174, and we actually have to pay the bills right now, so we'll be back right after this commercial break. Folks, if you have that hankering to get that live music vibe, the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe has live music every weekend featuring new artists as well as established veterans. They're open every day of the week, well, with the exception of Mondays and Tuesdays. Come check out the Black Dog Vinyl Cafe, 16108 South Route 59 in Plainfield, Illinois. And folks, try to remember, there was a time back in the day.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
Hey folks, many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed and the President has signed a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken Deluc, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity. Welcome back to the Turning Point Podcast. If you have a question, please give us a voicemail at 312-866-7174, or you can always go on our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. Our special guest today is Terry Marker, one of the leading scientists in the whole world in what she does. And like I said before, I'm so excited that we had the opportunity to talk to her. I do have a question for you, Terry. Now, just recently, the Department of Energy released a statement that they have actually done a fusion reactor, which, if for people who don't understand the technology, there is no nuclear waste. It's something that actually produces more output than it does input to make it work. And how, with the new technology that they're talking about, what's your take on this and how does it affect, you know, what you guys are doing?
Well, I think everybody's really excited about fusion's possibilities for the future because, you know, it's a promise of totally clean energy, you know, and it would be a wonderful breakthrough if that moves forward. But the only thing I can say is, you know, I think everybody that's familiar with fusion understands that even though they've made some progress now and they have actually started making more energy than they're consuming, that there's a long way to go with it. It is a complicated technology and it runs at very, very high temperatures. And so the materials of construction and stuff are very difficult there. So I'm sure it will come to fruition, though. I am confident that eventually we will have these fusion reactors, but I do think it's a long way off. So in a way, it doesn't really affect, you know, the kind of things that we're doing, which I think is much more near term. And our goal in the near term is to make these biofuels or these e-fuels that, you know, can be the bridge and help us use our cars just and our diesel equipment and our jet planes without polluting. And that is, I think, our initial goal. And I think the e-fuels and the biofuels are the bridge, you know, to this ultra efficient fusion stuff, which is great stuff.
Terry, I am a huge proponent of, you know, green and green energy in general. And it's so good to see that it's not all, you know, doom and gloom for the planet with the fossil fuels that we are wedded to at the moment. Tell me a little bit in layman's terms, okay, for our audience out here. Cool GTL technology. I mean, it just sounds cool to have the word cool in a technology. What does that mean?
Okay, well, what we're doing is we're taking all sorts of gas feeds, like a biogas or a CO2 and hydrogen feed, any of those kind of feeds, and we're reacting it in a first stage to make hydrogen and CO, and then there's a second stage, which is a Fischer-Tropsch stage, and a wax, and combined with wax cracking, where we directly make the fuels of interest. So it's kind of a slimmed down, relatively low cost version of gas to liquids that we've invented here at GTL, okay. GTI. It involves, we have several new catalysts that we invented for this technology. And also we have new processes as well. Our Fischer-Tropsch is a slightly different version, an improved version of what's out there commercially now. And our reformer is an electric reformer, which uses electricity to heat it instead of using. So we're using resistive heating instead of the traditional method, which would be to heat a reactor real hot. People normally burn some kind of fuel, and then they make CO2 as a byproduct. And so we're avoiding all that. We're avoiding making any CO2 this way. And it works very well. We're in the process of scaling it up. We've done small scale tests so far, and we're right now going to a larger scale test. And we hope next year and the year after we'll be in 100 gallon per day's size, and then 1,000 gallon per day size.
Wow.
So we're going as fast as we can here to make this get this out in the
Okay.
commercial realm. And we actually have, we're talking to many commercial partners on this. I can't use any names at this time, but we will. We hope to form a joint venture and to commercialize it, because we're GTI Energy is a not-for-profit company that actually was started here in Chicago, Illinois, just like me. And
Okay.
it works. It has worked mainly in the natural gas industry, but it, we are expanding. That's why we changed our name to GTI Energy. So we do all sorts of different kinds of energy, into including bioenergy and these e-fuel type
Okay,
systems.
so the thermochemical reaction and the thermochemical conversion science, how old or how young is this?
Well, in some ways, you could say it's old, and we've just put, we've just made it a lot better than it used to be in the past. And the reformer, for instance, runs at a high temperature and uses a type of catalyst. Now we've improved the catalyst so we can directly make our synthesis gas from it. Again, it's just like improvements to old chemistry that's been around for 50 years.
Right. Ken kind of mentioned in a few minutes back about having the renewable sources of biomass, and that was something that I was wondering about, is how do you continue the supply of the biomass?
Oh, well, there's a lot of biomass. Actually, the government has done studies called the million ton study. And the million ton study looked at how that whether the United States could produce 1 million tons of biomass each year. And they concluded, yes, that there is 1 million tons of biomass that is basically wasted that can be used to make biofuels right now. So there's corn stover is one that's the corn that kind of the stalk that's left in the field. That can be a source of biomass. There's a lot of waste wood that can be sources of biomass. There's we currently actually a lot of people don't know this, but one of the technologies I invented when I was at UOP was a technology that converts fats and oils into diesel, clean green diesel. So what this does is it takes actually they actually have a company that collects all the beef tallow from all around the country, and they bring it in and we convert it into this renewable diesel. So this is being done today, and there's actually a lot of it on the market.
A lot of people are not aware of these things, and I've always wondered what happens to all the used motor oil that they collect. Okay. What
Well,
do
yeah,
people do?
that's a whole different thing. People
Okay.
repurpose and recover the used
Right.
motor oils.
And a long time back, when I first came to the country, I did work in a couple of restaurants. And so the oil that we would use, that was collected by somebody. And I was like, what did they do with that oil?
Well, now that stuff is pretty valuable because that stuff is perfect feed for these kind of processes that convert the vegetable oil. What they do is basically vegetable oil is a mixture of hydrogen and carbon and oxygen. So if you hydrotreat it and react it with hydrogen, you can take out all the oxygen and basically form diesel fuel, and propane is what you form. And usually it's quite it's quite lucrative to do that. That's a lot of the oil companies now have a process unit that instead of processing petroleum feed is actually taking these vegetable oils and greases and turning them into diesel fuel.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. So growing up now, you always wanted to get into chemistry as a young girl. Is that what excited you that one day I'm going to be doing this? And by the way, folks, Terry Marker has got 79 patents. If I am incorrect, please correct me, Terry, right?
No, that's correct. That's correct. They said they'd throw a party for me when I get to 80 here at TGI. So far, I'm not quite at 80.
So You're not done yet. Okay. Folks, our guest today on the Turning Point podcast is Terry Marker, one of the leading scientists in the GTL field, which is gas to liquid technology, and coming up with new technologies all the time. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back after this.
Hey, folks, again, if you'd like to leave a question or you have a suggestion for somebody as cool as Terry Marker to be on our program, please give us a call at 312-866-7174. Or, of course, you can go to our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. We'll be right back. Hey, folks. Many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed and the President has signed a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken.deluc, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com.
Let's wind up with our final segment and let Terry go back to thinking about the 80th thing that she can invent and get a patent on. Hey, okay. Terry, I gave you a hint to, you know, to think about inventing something that can convert the hot air generated by politicians into fuel.
That's good. Okay, I love it.
Okay, so that might be you know, something that you would really get a worldwide patent on, not just a local U.S.
Actually, that could be a great meme. Okay. Leading scientist has found a way to take in the hot air of politicians and turn it into fuel. I mean, how cool would that be, right? We could do like on Facebook.
Goodness. Like okay. Let's get back to serious business, folks. And right. Our guest today is Terry Marker, one of the leading scientists in the fuel technologies field. And Terry, I was just reading this morning about Porsche working in Chile about generating e-fuels out of water over there, and making sure that there's no carbon footprint. So many exciting things. I'm pretty sure that you are on top of everything. But as a scientist, as a concerned citizen, What keeps you up at night?
Well, everybody is worried about global warming, and I am too. That is something that we need to, address faster than we are. I think, a lot of scientists and a lot of engineers are working really hard to try to solve, the climate issues. And obviously politicians as well are pitching in it also. But we've got to go faster. I mean, that is a little bit scary. And I have a daughter. I worry about what the next generation will have to face if we don't solve these problems.
Okay, so what kind of assistance or help do you think the politicians and government needs to bring to the table at this point that they have not already done?
Well, I think, we've made a really big step forward with the recent legislation that has provided more money for R&D and for building large renewable fuel systems. So I think the government is doing a lot. Obviously they could do more. I mean, you can always do more. So there's various ways you can have, tax incentives are always good. And the thing about the thing that, I always argue with my very conservative friends is they always worry about, oh, well, the people in petroleum are all going to lose their job. But it's not like that. You make more jobs w in renewable fuels than you lose in the petroleum area. So certainly, this working in this area, you're actually creating a lot of jobs. And that's the thing that's exciting is also that this is a whole new area, and there's going to be a whole big employment that comes from this work in the
Okay.
future.
I just want to chime in right here, and this is really important for those who don't really follow politics. The recent IRA Act, okay, Inflation Reduction Act, they put in $368 billion into green energy, okay? So that's like solar. It's possibly what you're talking about and everything else. So there is a very bright light at the end of this tunnel. And for those who aren't familiar with that, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah,
Okay, wonderful.
you're right. I mean, that's been a very important, that's going to be. I mean, all the money has not been released yet, and we're just beginning to see the Department of Energy providing a lot more solicitations based on that legislation.
So, Terry, I wanted to circle back a little bit now. For these new jobs that are being created, does everyone need to have a master's degree or a PhD for this? Or are there skills that the education system needs to start thinking about that they should be focusing on, training the next generation of, workers and participants in this field?
Well, this field is very much like the current field of petroleum refining. So, you need technicians, you need scientists, you need engineers, you need the whole group of people. So, I mean, of course, it's very important to have, people that are PhDs. But there you can also have people that have high school education and they can be technicians, and those are usually very well-paid jobs. And usually people that are technicians learn a lot of what they do on the job. So these can be valuable jobs for everybody. And I think that's what's great about that was always what was great about the petroleum industry, but that's also going to be what's great about the biorenewable industry and the clean fuel industry in general, where you're doing e-fuels.
So in the long run, you don't see robots coming in and doing a lot of the grunt work in this field, like in any other field now?
Well, there is already a lot of automation that's in there. Automation has greatly reduced the number of workers needed to do certain jobs. And ours, in the petroleum industry, the chemical industry in general, that's the same thing has occurred. But there's still a lot of very high-paying good jobs in those areas. We don't see it as much in Chicago as Houston and those kinds of places tend to have more of the petroleum or the chemical jobs. But one of the great things about e-fuels, I think, is that, if you're taking CO2 out of the air, well, you can do it anywhere, right? And if you're taking CO2 from a fermentation plant or from a corn ethanol plant. Boy, we have a lot of those up here in the Midwest. So it really helps. It's really a great thing for the Midwest, I see. And it is a great thing for the whole of the US. We don't want to fall behind in this. I mean, one of the problems I see is, a lot of times Europe can be more proactive in these areas than us. And this is an area that's going to create jobs. So we don't want to let this, we don't want to fall behind here and lose out to other countries.
At one time in my life, I lived in Baytown, suburb of Houston.
Right.
Basically, not a suburb; it's a city near Houston. And we had these big refineries in the town next to us called Pasadena.
Yes. Yes, I'm familiar with those. Yeah.
Boy, we used to call it Stinkadena.
Yeah, and that's why, because petroleum has a lot of sulfur in it and stuff. And the great thing about biomass is it doesn't hardly have any sulfur in it. So I don't think you're gonna have that problem with biomass
Yeah,
either.
that's something just jumped into my mind. I'm like, God, that was such a stinky place. And one of the side benefits of these new technologies is no stink, right?
Yes. And the other thing I would say is, I don't know if you realize this, but actually, the petroleum industry is actually changing. I mean, my roots are there, and some refineries are being converted to biorefineries now. People are probably not aware of that. It's not a huge number, but it's slowly happening, and I think that is the way of the future. That will be what occurs in the future to a
So
large.
when you say the word future a couple of times, how long do you think before we see these things at our local gas pump?
Well, some things are faster than others, but I honestly believe in something like 3 to 5 years, you'll start seeing a lot more e-fuels, you'll start seeing a lot more biofuels out there. And you don't even realize it, right now there is a lot. I mean, think about what's in your gasoline. Right now it's got 10% ethanol in it, right? That's a biofuel. And also, as I said, diesel fuel, there's a large amount of this biodiesel or green diesel that's being made, renewable diesel. So there is already some of that out there, and there'll just be more in the future.
So, with this emphasis now on electric cars and all of that, when these fuels hit the market, isn't that going to be already too late for this to have any impact?
I don't think so because, first of all, there are, if you see the basic infrastructure of having a lot of electric charging stations really isn't there. And the other thing, that we argue and that I absolutely believe is hydrocarbon fuels are a wonderful source of energy. In fact, the internal combustion energy engine is quite well developed. These things already exist. The problem is that the fuel we're using is just polluting like crazy. If we can get past that and start using fuels that are made from renewable sources, then this isn't, I really think this is a wonderful transition to all electric. And right now, a lot of people don't know this. When you buy an electric car and you're using electricity, a lot of that electricity is coming from dirty sources. So until those change more to, the solar, the wind, the geothermal, the hydroelectric, those are all great sources of electricity that are coming on board. But right now, a lot of the electricity is made from burning fossil fuels.
I'm so happy that you mentioned that, and this is really important in the big picture because with what you're doing, even if you eventually or us eventually goes all electric, there's issues with actually getting lithium. Now I know like they do mining in Canada, and that's like very environmentally not a good thing, but they have a new technology where they have lithium nodules in the bottom of the ocean that's created by biologicals in the bottom of the ocean that can help offset a lot of that. But the step up to actually making an electric vehicle environmental friendly, of course, you're not burning gas, but just to make the car itself is a problem. We have the existing technology, and this is like a really great transition from what you're providing to take existing, needs and existing, you know, vehicles that are out there. And if you can make it green, putting it into the tank, that gives us that leeway to develop the future down the road. So, I mean, this is just phenomenal what you guys are doing. I'm so excited.
You know, Ken, right at this moment, according to some studies, there are an estimated 1.3 billion combustion engine vehicles on roads around the world. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine the amount of impact it is having on the environment with burning the fossil fuels that we are currently doing. Folks, our guest today on the Turning Point podcast is Terry Marker, one of the leading scientists in the world now on alternative energies. Terry has got 79 patents. And right after this podcast is finished today, she will be working on her 80th patent of converting converting the hot air generated by politicians into renewable fuel. And hopefully, hopefully she will finish that off real quick, because you know, we got the elections coming up again in April for the local municipalities, and then 2024. It's a vicious cycle. Every 2 years, every 4 years, elections going on. So you'll have plenty of you know, renewable supply of hot air in that, Terry. But jokes aside, what was the turning point in your life that brought you to the point like, hey, I want to make this, I want to make a difference for the generations to come? What was that point in your life?
Well, I would say what happened is, you know, if you work in the petroleum industry, which I did for many years, you're kind of convinced, oh, nothing can replace petroleum. But then we were able to do experiments and see that, hey, we can make all this stuff out of biorenewables. We can do the same thing, only make it renewable type material and not be polluting. And when I would say that was a turning point for me, when I realized we could, not only can we do it, but we can do it economically. And that made me decide, hey, I don't really want to work on petroleum anymore. I want to work on the future, on saving the planet, you know? So that's when I really kind of crossed over to the good guys.
Wonderful. Wonderful. On that note, then let's wind up the conversation for today. And again, Ken, if you could please thank you know, Terry again for us.
Terry, you are my personal rock star. I love you. Thank you so much for participating today. You don't know how much that means to me and my vision of the future. So this is the Turning Point podcast. Again, if you want to give us a suggestion for future guest, 312-866-7174. Or you can always get us on our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. Until next time, so long, folks.